Good evening. Welcome to the Dropkicks. I'm Dom.
I'm Hayden.
Hi, I'm Sideline Mike.
Thanks, Sideline Mike.
That's right.
Right, that was Twin Set with Time Dilation from Is This How I'm Feeling. That's big night tonight. Big, quick night. I'm sure you've all often said that before. Big, quick night tonight, love. Plenty on TV. Lots of rugby. Anyway, so we've got our review of the South Africa versus New Zealand Tri Nations game played in Wellington over the weekend. I've got some sports news, 30 Seconds of Madness, Dick of the Week and Athlete of the Week, and a preview of this week's game, which is the second Bledisloe Cup game, All Blacks versus Australia in Brisbane, before we finally say goodnight for another evening. So let's get right into it. The review of the South Africa versus New Zealand match. Hayden.
You've done a hell of a lot today, haven't you?
I have written Tri Nations review on my page, and that's it.
Yeah, thankfully, I did some research.
I watched the game.
I've got plenty more. Yeah, well, we did watch the game, actually.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, the final score was 33 points to...
35-17.
35 points to 17.
I think.
Why have you written down 33-15?
I thought it was 33-15.
So... your research that you did was what Dom reckon happened after four or five beers.
Hey, it's more than you put down.
You mean I didn't even guess at the score?
Hey, look, mine's a pretty good guess.
It is 35-17.
33-15? Yeah, that's what I thought. And also, to be honest, I didn't really do any research. I'm going completely from my memory after the five beers that we had.
Oh, really?
Right. So there was two tries apiece for New Zealand. They were scored by Richie McCaw and
Petty
Weepu. Scored a brilliant try, stepping inside.
Absolutely brilliant try.
After Mills Milena showed a remarkable lack of pace, I thought.
Yeah, he was caught fairly easily by two fairly large fellas.
Yeah.
They weren't the wings.
They weren't the wings, and he was chased down, so a bit of a concern there. But we still, Petty Weepu scored from the resulting inside pass. And Richie McCaw scored from just a breakout by Dan Carter.
Dan Carter made the first try as well.
That's right. Dan pretty much did everything. It was New Zealand scored that first try right on the 40-minute mark. And Dan took the ball from a missed kick that didn't make touch inside his own half. Beat one tackler, did a little chip kick, and found Malione. It was actually really brilliant.
It was a very, very good try. The only thing that screwed it up was the pass, actually. The pass was terrible. Went sort of in behind Richie McCaw. He flailed at it and missed, and Petty Weepu picked it up off the ground and scooted round, and then really, it was like league here to shove his way over the line.
Which he does very well. He's got a low centre of gravity.
Very low.
Very difficult to stop. So, the Dan Carter, as I said, had a fantastic game. 9 from 9 with the boot.
Had a fantastic game if you ignore the first 17 seconds.
Please tell us what happened in the first 17 seconds, Hayden.
Dan Carter had the ball in his own five. Went to make a clearing kick. Looked kind of lazy. Charged down by the South Africans and tried to...
Three. It was a good bit of chasing, actually, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. They finally showed the above angle to see if the South Africans were offside. They took about 7 or 8 replays before they showed it. And Fruity Dupree was actually on side.
Yeah.
Victor Matfield, who was following up, wasn't. Interesting. But it didn't matter in the end.
In the end, it didn't matter. I was kind of annoyed that Carter didn't chase them. He chased them for like 2 metres and then stopped. But Dupree was bobbling the ball around. If he had hit him, he would have dropped it. And Matfield was offside.
And he only put it down like a metre before the dead ball line.
Yeah, so yeah.
If he whacked in the back of him, he might have taken him out.
Bobbled it forward, knocked it on, we get a scrum.
Yes, so as I say, two tries apiece. The South Africans scored from a nice cross kick. The second try was scored by Brayton Polster from a nice cross kick from
Brayton Polster with a horrible new haircut.
With a perm. With a horrible perm.
Wasn't it? Silly.
Yes. Bad. He's losing the hair cut of the year award.
Was he ever winning it?
No, but he's definitely losing it now.
Oh, okay.
He's not in the running now.
He's not even thinking.
Well, I mean, it's so un-aerodynamic. He's, way back.
They say the game was the battle of the boots. Dan Carter was 9 from 9, whereas Percy Montgomery was 3 from 7 or something woeful.
He
bloody
couldn't hit a barn door, that guy. But, again, given lots of opportunities. So there was infringing from both sides, but the South Africans were offside, infringing their right virtually every 5 minutes, if not more.
Yeah, I thought the second half, the ref tried to even it up by giving them penalties. Yeah. It was a bit off, I thought.
I thought it was a very entertaining game. It was very stop-start. Graham Henry stopped short of accusing the Box directly of taking lots of injury breaks, but it did annoy him enough to comment at the after-match interview that some countries, in commas, did it more than others. I don't think New Zealand would be adverse from taking the odd injury break if the other team's on a roll or have got the momentum, but we haven't seen it over the last 150 years because New Zealand are generally in front.
Yeah.
They're not really in a position to.
There was a few times in the 80s where we'd just slow it down a bit, you know.
We're winning. Take it to a ruck.
Yeah.
Smaller field from the 5 metre, Gilbert 5 line. I don't think it's that big a problem.
I mean, there was the accompanying piece was fans unhappy with ugly win.
I wasn't unhappy with the ugly win.
No. I'm happy with any win.
I mean, he obviously changed the team quite a bit.
Yeah.
They were rusty again because there's all those combinations which didn't gel. So they were inaccurate, so things just didn't come off.
So I actually had a fantastic time watching the match.
Yeah, we had a great time. I didn't actually think it was that ugly a win. I thought the All Blacks structured their game kind of well. I mean, there was only the odd thing that went wrong for them.
Look, you don't have to score 100 tries to have a great rugby game, I reckon. Watching Dan kick 9 from 9 was pretty special.
I think that perhaps reporters have gone a bit crazy on the Super 14. They want it to be nuts all the time and 100 tries
super
scored.
Super entertaining. And,
yeah, exactly.
50-point wins all the time.
This is test match rugby. Mm-hmm. If it's a 3-zip win, it's a 3-zip win and you don't care.
So, New Zealand take 4 points out of the match and go to the top of the Tri Nations table.
Yes,
they do.
Yep.
Into some sports news. Hayden Green, you did prepare for this, didn't you?
Yeah, I got
that. News. Oh, pages of it.
All right. The Black Ferns, the New Zealand women's rugby team, are off to the Rugby World Cup in Edmonton, Canada, and they have announced their squad. Here it is. Victoria Blackledge, Mona Lisa Codling, Ixia Edwards, Fia'au Fa'amausila.
Nice.
Victoria Hayway, you say nice, but I'm not sure if that's how you say it. Rebecca Hull, Linda Itunu, Emma Jensen, Rachel Makata, Beth Mallard, Diane Maliukato, Rochelle Martin, Puriana Manuel, Amaria Marsh, Stephanie Mortimer, Hannah Myers, Mel Natai, Farah Palmer, Anna Richards, Claire Richardson, Casey Robertson, Melissa Roscoe, Kimberly Smith, Waimana Teddy, Amy Williams, and Shannon Willoughby.
Awesome.
Brilliant. Stephanie Mortimer is their amazing wing, who's a try-scoring machine.
Yeah.
Farah Palmer is from the Manawatu. She's been the captain for many years, and she is an axe.
Yeah.
She's a complete axe. She's like 100 feet tall and 20 feet wide and huge. 100 feet tall and 20 feet wide, that's kind of funny.
Bones wouldn't support that.
No, I doubt it.
Just the physics. But
yeah, have to be a whale.
That's why she eats the bones of her opponents.
Oh, right.
Very good. In order for strength.
Yep.
They play on the 1st of September against Canada, and then on the 5th against Samoa, the 9th against Scotland, and then they've actually got in here as their fixtures, playing the semi-finals and the final. Because this is the third Women's Rugby World Cup, I believe.
I think so.
And New Zealand are 3-time world champions? No, England won it once.
England won it once. We won the last one.
We're reigning world champions.
Yeah, we are the reigning world champions. And so that's why I think, you know, we need to support them.
Yeah.
Because currently, I mean, they've got a much better record than the men. Yeah, so that's it. Right.
Come on, Blackferns. Woo!
This weekend is the first weekend of the Air New Zealand Cup, formerly the NPC. The first game will be between Canterbury and Hawke's Bay in Napier.
Canterbury 13 plus.
Oh, Canterbury 13 plus.
Canterbury 13 plus.
Yep. The next game up is Manawatu versus Auckland in Palmerston North.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Auckland. Oh, that'll be a turbocharged game.
Well, it was.
Nice part. Why do you say that, Hayden?
Manawatu's team name is the Turbos.
Oh.
The Manawatu Turbos. Yeah.
Oh, that's their logo. That's their motto.
Oh, no, their logo is a wind turbine, which is what they actually named.
Oh, okay. Right. It's
not like a mullet, black jeans, and some kind of low-riding Holden. Let's get on.
Pop off the elves.
Yeah. We should point out that Mike's a Manawatu supporter.
No, I'm not.
Why not?
What?
Wife of Bush.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Good, the Bush.
Notice how he's... No, I'm not. Yep.
No, absolutely not.
So, what are we picking? Auckland 13 plus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so. The next game is Counties Manukau versus Otago in Auckland, also on the Saturday.
I'm going to go with Otago on that.
I'm going to go with Otago as well.
Probably less than 13.
I was going to say 1 to 12. Yeah,
1 to 12.
I'm going to say Otago 13 plus.
These are our official drop kicks picks.
Oh, by the way, all of these picks are for the virtual rugby thing through Telecom. I think it's telecomvirtualrugby.co.nz, where you can find us. We are the Drop Kicks. The next game is...
You can search for us under our first name, which is The, or our second name, which is Drop Kicks.
The next game is Taranaki versus Wellington in New Plymouth.
I think Wellington will absolutely execute them.
Yeah, I personally think that Wellington has got more depth.
It's basically the Hurricanes minus the All Blacks.
And the guys who would normally
play Taranaki. And Jason Spice has come back.
I just sort of point that out, because Wellington, Otago, Auckland, Canterbury, sort of the big
three
players, and on the first weekend they're all playing away. I wondered if that was kind of a nice thing to show it's going back to the provinces. I don't know if it is a nice thing, because they're all going to get smashed. But Northland versus Southland, either end of the country, battling it out. Northland haven't won in their last 3 years. They haven't won for 3 years.
Oh, I think Southland are going to crush them.
I think so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even at Low Walker Stadium, which is... My heart says Northland, but head's got to go Southland.
Southland are pretty good.
Southland. And the last game is Tasman playing North Harbour in Blenheim.
The Makos versus the... Well, the Harbour Bridge... No, the...
I'm picking North Harbour.
Yeah, Harbour. John Lomu might even make an appearance.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Mighty John Lomu.
Yeah.
Waikato and Bay of Plenty have a bye. However, they are instead playing each other.
Oh, cool.
In a final pre-season match.
Good work.
They've decided to, may as well, because they're quite close geographically. Mm. Even though this is, of course, pool play. Mm. So all the teams, like Waikato and Bay of Plenty, both have a bye because they're in different pools.
The
NZRU set it up so that there'd be two pools of seven teams, meaning that each week two teams have a bye and are not allowed to play each other, technically. So, on the opening weekend of the new Premier competition, not all the teams will be represented playing first-class rugby.
And two of the better-performing former First Division teams have been told to sit down. And they said, nah.
Yeah. Well, I think, actually, they would want to showcase all the new teams, but still.
True.
Yeah, right. So, we'll make our picks and you can model yourselves against us.
Okay, I have some rugby news as well.
Good.
The North America 4 Rugby Tournament is currently being played between the USA Falcons and the USA Hawks and Canada East and Canada West.
Okay.
I know, really awesome, right?
Falcons are the Hawks versus East and the West.
Yes, of Canada. Really cool game just got played, the Falcons versus Canada East.
What's this for, sorry?
It's just a rugby tournament in North America.
Are they the best players?
I think it's all Americans and all Canadians. playing each other. Together.
Right.
Meshing.
Right, okay.
Okay, yeah.
In the North America for rugby tournament. Exciting game. Two tries deep into injury time, and it was deep in injury time, which they still play in America because it's cool. But anyway, two tries deep in injury time saw the USA Falcons score an improbable come from behind 25-24 victory in the opening match of the second round of the North America 4 tournament in Columbus, Ohio. Wing Brian Barnard. Brian Barnard. Finished an 80-metre try that saw multiple phases spring him free as the late comeback took place with the Canadians down a man. Vaha Esekia scored an 80...
he sounds American or Canadian.
Shut up. Anyway, he scored in the 85th minute, and despite a missed drop goal attempt at a conversion, the Falcons raced back to centre, now needing a try for the victory. This is in the 85th minute. The restart allowed the Falcons to retain possession and work the late magic, crushing the Canadian team, who held a 24-15 lead as full-time elapsed. And you'd think that normally that would mean a win. Not in Columbus, Ohio.
Brilliant.
The Hawks and the Falcons versus the East and the West. We'll keep you updated with that. That's just
do the Americans play each other in the it's like a round robin?
I think so, yes.
Good.
But I have no idea.
Right, okay.
So again, some of your guesswork.
Some of my research. Okay, thanks. And that's cool. That's rugby news for this week.
Continuing with soccer.
We didn't start with soccer.
No, but continuing the news with soccer.
With soccer, thank you.
Yeah. The Italian clubs implicated in a match-fixing scandal have had their punishments slashed on appeal.
Hmm. Oh, that's bollocks.
Lazio and Fiorentina have been reinstated to Serie A.
Serie A.
But with points deductions increased from 12 to 19 for Fiorentina and 7 to 11 for Lazio. Juventus' hopes of overturning demotion to Serie B.
Serie B.
Were dashed, but instead of starting on minus 30 points, they have only had 17 points taken away. AC Milan stay in Serie A with their penalty cut from 15 points to 8. Milan have also been allowed to play in the Champions League qualifying rounds this season, having originally been barred from Europe. But the Italian Football Federation, which is FIGS, upheld the decision to strip Juventus of their last two Serie A titles.
Nice.
The court also confirmed the 5-year ban for former Juventus executives Luciano Moggi and Antonio Guardo. That's not how you say it, but never mind. The figures at the centre of the match-fixing scandal. Also, sports news, Roger Randall is out for Waikato.
This
weekend against the Bay, his first game back for a very long time. And we're going to mention Waikato because Waikato is currently the only province to send us their media guide. With all their players.
Issued us with media accreditation.
Yep. And so, idiots. until the other provinces do, we're going to do a little focus on one Waikato player per week.
Awesome.
And do a little thing about them. This week, it's Aled de Malmange.
Awesome. I was going to ask you about that.
Possibly the best name in all of rugby. Alad de Malmange. He was born in Palmerston North, so rough start. went to Hamilton Boys High School and then on to the Waikato Institute of Technology.
So it didn't get much better then?
No, sort of levelled out.
Right.
And then he plays prop or hooker.
Depending on the time.
Waikato. Yeah, depending. and his club is Hamilton Old Boys. Although a hooker by choice, his 7 games for Waikato have all been as a replacement prop. All seven of his games.
I've never, ever heard of him before.
No, we had never heard of him before.
Which is interesting because he's got such a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won the New Zealand Under-19 surfboat title at Waihi Beach in 2003.
Really?
His grandfather, Malcolm Thomas, played for Counties in 1962, and his father also played for the Waikato Secondary Schools in 1980. His debut was against North Harbour last season, and he is Waikato player number 1003.
Oh, man, I hope we've got it all back. That's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So each week, until we get sent more stuff by other provinces,
yeah.
Waikato player of the week.
Yay!
Aled de Malmange.
Aled de Malmange.
Go Aled.
Good. Okay, right. We're right into the...
No.
Mike's got news.
I've got news.
All right, Mike.
Okay.
Have you
news? Look at him lounging.
He's lounging back. He's suddenly...
It's crossing the line here, ladies and gentlemen. Crossing the line a bit. Come on, sideline.
Wayne Rooney goes to sleep to the sound of his vacuum cleaner.
That's no way to call your missus, man.
Jenny, make that noise again, would you? Can you make that noise, Jenny? I'll go to bed. That's good luck.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Give it up, come on. What else?
Alright. An English village cricket team narrowly missed out on one of the worst scores ever recorded after they were bowled out for 5.
What's the worst score ever?
4.
Damn.
Do you think there was a 4? Do you think like they went bang to the boundary?
Yeah. 10 consecutive wickets.
Not these guys. All of their runs came from extras.
Yeah! Awesome!
All 10 batsmen got ducks.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant.
The dude who didn't get out must be like, yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! It's just the one guy just waiting there for his turn.
How many overs or balls does it
last? They faced 12 overs.
Wow!
They were bottom of the table and they were playing the top of the table team.
bullies.
Yeah. But at the top of the table still lost two wickets trying to get to that
score. Oh, that's brilliant. They were trying to smack the four.
Yeah,
yeah. No, they were trying to
get six.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah. So,
thanks.
That's all I've got.
That's good. Was there any follow-up article to the Rooney thing?
Oh, apparently he has. He also has the lights on and some other noise going. He needs a lot of noise, and so he turns... Oh, he said that when he's out with the club, often there's not, like, vacuum cleaners around for him to turn on. So he turns on the hairdryer that you get in your, like, hotel room. He'll turn that on and leave it going. He says, I don't know what his voice sounds like. I can't do the voice. But he says, I can't sleep without it, and I haven't caused any fires yet, but I did forget to turn them off sometimes. Yeah, I know. He's not the smartest.
That's an excellent way to have that boy. Okay, yeah. That's good. That was sports news for the week ending 26th of July. Right, we now have a new addition to the podcast this week. It's the 30 Seconds of Madness. Stolen from PTI?
No, it was definitely stolen.
Well, the concept was, but the title is my idea.
Oh, yeah, the title's all yours.
All right, good. Mind you, a bit long in the
Much like the score in the All Blacks. So
that's right.
All yours.
Okay, so the competition is, that not competition, but the test is that I'll be asking a question. I'll be putting a question to Hayden and Sideline Mike. I will then direct who is going to affirm and negate that question, and the other person must
do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
So it's like a debate.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Which I will
Mike's
call
researching
into.
The internet.
He doesn't know my. Do you know my question?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Right. So these are serious questions. I did some research. You see.
Who knows?
Oh, hang on. Wait a second.
What was the score? Right.
No. Okay. First question is: will Greg Rawlinson make the All Blacks World Cup squad? Affirm it, Mike's sideline, Mike.
Greg Rawlinson.
Yes, Greg Rawlinson.
Chin. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I see what you.
Will he make the All Blacks World Cup squad?
Only if he plays well.
No. You have to affirm. Come on, sideline.
I don't know.
To affirm it.
I have to affirm
make
it.
Make it up.
Make it up.
Make up?
Then. Yeah, he will then.
Why?
Why not? He's big. He's like the size of a lock. So it makes sense that he would play at lock. And if we need a lock, then he's there to be in the team if he wants to be.
A door is also roughly the same shape as a lock. There's plenty of things that are the shape of a lock. And I will admit that Greg Rawlinson is indeed the shape of a lock. He's just not the shape of a very good lock. He's sort of big and like a big bit of wood, but he doesn't bloody do anything. He isn't... he's not. He won't make it. He won't make it. He's not getting in. 0% chance he makes the World Cup.
That's good, right? That's what I thought. But you made me...
No, that's not the game that...
No, I think we... This is, you know, if he doesn't agree, I don't agree with that.
No, that's not the thing.
No, I played along.
But anyway, that's 1-0 to Hayden.
Carry on.
1-0 to Hayden.
Oh, fine.
Damn straight.
1-0 to Hayden.
This is going to come
right, next question. Will we ever see the All Blacks best 15 and play a test this year, Hayden?
Yes, I think we... So well, I think we're going to see it this weekend. I think... I'm going to take that back.
No,
I think we will. I think this weekend is going to be the A squad, barring injuries, because obviously guys like Conrad Smith are out, so, you know, it's never going to be the dream team. But... I'm obviously stealing Mike's
point. Mike.
You've stolen it. What am I going to say? Yeah, no, it's not their best team at the moment. There's a few players out, like Conrad Smith and the squad. I mean, if you take the reserves into account, there's still quite a few other players who could probably make the reserves ahead of the ones who are on the bench already. Players like Sione Lauaki, maybe Keith Robinson as well, if he ever gets back from injury. Okay. Players like that.
Good.
And Sivavati. And Jason Eaton not starting ahead of Ali Williams.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later, though.
And
Paddy Weepu injured. Yeah.
Okay, last question. Who has the tougher job? Graham Henry picking the All Black 15 or Stephen Larkham marking Dan Carter? Hayden, tell me about Graham Henry. Does he have the...
Henry likes walks on the beach. Does he have a harder job? Sorry.
No, you're saying that he has a harder job than Stephen Larkham marking Dan Carter. Why?
Graham Henry has the harder job because there's so much goddamn depth. I mean, we were just talking about that. There's all the guys that are sitting around injured, and he's got to pick players. And I mean, there's guys like the halfback from Canterbury that he wanted to pick, but he didn't. He went for Jimmy Cowan for, I don't know, because the devil told him to. I don't know why he picked that.
Andrew else was injured.
Whatever. Sorry. But he... Whatever. It's a hard job. Marking Dan Carter is so easy.
Mike,
oh,
why?
Marking Dan Carter is not so easy. He's the best best five in the world by country mile. He's just got the vision. He can know when to change his game plan when he has to.
They don't measure them by country miles.
Country kilometres. He's also got one of the best back threes in the world to keep an eye on him. So if Larkin was getting uppity or anything, you know, they'd be in his face and telling him not to and stuff like that.
But you see, Larkin is butt ugly and Dan Carter's all pretty. So Dan Carter's all like, ooh, my face. Stephen Larkin doesn't have to worry about that. He can just, doesn't matter, he can drive his face into the ground. It won't matter.
What's a country mile, is that? Well, it's over yonder.
Roughly down the road here.
Well, that's 2 country miles, I guess. I don't know what you city miles are like. How far they are. The country miles is about yay long. All right. Sorry, that was 30 Seconds of Madness, stretched over about 2.5 minutes. Thank you. We're moving on now to Dick and Athlete of the Week. Do we have a nomination?
I've got...
Oh, sorry, I'm declaring Hayden the winner there.
Oh, screw you.
Well, next week, it's Mike's turn to come
up with
things, and it's you and I. I've got a couple of nominations for Dick of the Week.
Okay, cool.
Jockey Paul O'Neill has apologised for headbutting his horse in some race in England.
Did he apologise to the horse?
Well, no, he just apologised in general. Oh. He's probably going to be punished by the Horse Racing Regulatory Authority in England. He will be asked to explain his actions by the HRA next week after the incident in Stratford was caught by TV cameras. O'Neill said, I would like to say to the public that I am very sorry they had to see such a thing. I've never done it before and it'll never happen again. He lost his cool when the horse City Affair unseated him before a race. Yeah. And my other nominee for Dick of the Week is Wendell Saylor, who is completely out of international rugby now. 2-year ban, never coming back. He's gone, Burger. Worst of all, he started all these people saying, should we test for recreational drugs in sports people's systems? And I'm like, it's illegal. It is, he's broken the law.
That's right, exactly.
If he'd have gone out and shot someone, you're like, well, we shouldn't test for that. That shouldn't be part of the thing. I mean, look at that. That bloody league idiot who attacked his pregnant girlfriend. He's back playing league.
I think we'd give him our concrete Dick of the Year award.
Yeah, I mean we should ban him from this because he just wins it.
Yeah,
it's not fair to the other dicks.
He's taking performance enhancing drugs, meaning he's always going to win.
This Dick of the Week. It's not fair.
No, I think. He's banned from rugby, he should be banned from Dick of the Week as well.
That's right. Alright, he's our first to be indoctrinated in the Dropkicks
Dick of the Week
Hall of Fame.
A Hall of Shame.
A Hall of Infame. So let's go with...
It's Jockey...
Well, it's the... Oh, yeah, Jockey guy.
The Jockey Paul O'Neill, headbutting a horse.
Did he knock it out?
No. Oh. That would have made him Athlete of the Week.
Yeah. Dick of the Week. Congratulations. Hang on. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Okay, Athlete of the Week. I have one.
Oh,
okay,
do?
Good.
Okay.
My Athlete of the Week goes to a real stud, Hugo, the Frisian bull, who's just come home to retire, who's just been retired after siring something in the somewhere probably hundreds of thousands bulls and cows throughout his career. He has made New Zealand $20 million.
Jesus.
Just himself. He's the second highest earning bull in the world in history, apart from this big Dutch bastard who apparently this guy's going to knock off in a few, he's going to shoot him or anything, he's going to top him.
Has he been touring the world or something? Has he been going around the world seducing?
Yeah, pretty much, siring.
You know, cows.
Everywhere. He's the international jet setter of bulls. He's the big bull, man. Yeah. He's the big bull on campus. That's got Hugo.
All right.
Yeah.
Hugo.
That's an athlete. That's siring 100,000 offspring. Whew.
Thanks, Dom.
So, we come up to the preview of this week's match, the All Blacks versus Australia in Brisbane. Hayden, you haven't got anything to say?
They've named the teams. I'll just quickly run through them. All Blacks are Leo McDonald, Rico Gear, Mills Moliana, Aaron Major, Joe Rook, Thoko, Dan Carter, Byron Keller, Rodney Soiello, Richie McCaw, Jerry Collins, Arlie Williams, Chris Jack, Carl Heyman, Kevin Mialamu, and Tony Woodcock on the bench. Andrew Hoare, Greg Somerville, Jason Eaton, Chris Masoe, Jimmy Cowan, Luke McAllister, Isaiah Toi'ava. The Wallabies are Chris Latham, Mark Gerrard, Sterling Whitlock, Matt Gitto, Lottie Takeri, Stephen Larkham, George Gregan, Scott Favour, George Smith, Rocky Elsom, Dan Vickerman, Nathan Sharp, Rod Zilla, Jeremy Paul, Greg Holmes, and the reserves are Ty McIsaac, Al Baxter, Guy Shepherdson, Mark Chisholm, Phil War, Wycliffe Palu, Sam Cordingley, Matt Rogers, and Clyde Rathbone. Two of those are going to be cut off because they've actually named too many.
Well, it's going to be played in front of a sellout crowd at Brisbane's excellent Suncorp Stadium, where Australia, since it's been rebuilt in 2003, Australia are 6-6.
Have not lost.
6-6.
They should really schedule more games there, then.
They really should. It is a brilliant venue from all accounts.
It is a fantastic venue. Good. Probably the only thing against it would be it's not the hugest capacity in the world. It's probably around about 40 or 50,000.
And the fact that the Aussies never lose there.
Well,
that sort of counts against it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, from my point of view, Australia are fresh from absolutely hammering South Africa. They feel they have the combinations right and they have the personnel ready to take on the All Blacks. They might have a couple of injury problems in Dan Vickerman, who has been cleared to play, but I don't know if he's absolutely 100%. Mm-hmm. And a couple of front rowers, including Rodzilla. He only just got cleared today, so that's, you know, they'll be cleared only if they're 100%, but just you can't come back from an injury.
They've only brought him in to try and combat Tony Woodcock, who has got a bit of a busted calf, and Leo McDonald's got a hyperextended elbow. What you're doing is putting in just someone who's a big mountain of meat, basically, to try and stop someone who's quite a technical scrummager.
Yeah.
It's the whole... The Australian scrum that was given an absolute lesson by TW and the Mountain Man. In Christchurch.
Sounds like a TV series.
Yeah.
TW and the Mountain Man. Mm.
It's cool.
Yeah. Who is Carl Heyman, by the way, for those of you who don't know.
But I think the All Black scrum will just be too smart, too solid. There's no amount bringing in 110 kilos worth of meat to beat smart... No. Smart scrummages is going to make any difference. However, having said that, they are on their home turf, and it's a big crowd.
They are expecting a much heavier onslaught from a much... I mean, this is pretty much the A squad.
Well, but having said that, this is the... they're also not fresh. The All Blacks are also not fresh. Half of them didn't play last week.
That's a good point.
In fact, the last 2 weeks they haven't played. In fact, the six changes haven't played for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, the All Blacks, however, are 2 wins from 2. They've made 6 changes? 8 changes. 6 changes. They're arrested, but the key positions of Carter, McCaw, and Chris Jack are not rested.
And Carl Heyman either, who's played all the game.
And Soyalo.
But I think they're just absolutely robotic at the moment. With their on-field play, there's very little emotion out there.
Do you mean robotic's a good thing? As in, there's
nothing... They're playing to... They're always playing to a game plan. There's no emotion out there anymore, apart from the
I think it's experience now.
Yeah.
They're so experienced.
Yeah. And it is good. I kind of prefer that, like, sticking to the game plan, having the fire and determination to actually smash the guys. But to have that sort of, like, okay, guys, we've got a game plan, we've got to stick to it, it's going to win us the game.
They're playing just so smart at the moment. You're right.
And they've got the best All Black coaching staff in...
Yeah.
I don't know how many years. Quite a few.
Since 87 World Cup, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Picks for this week?
All Blacks. 13 plus.
Yeah, I think 13 plus as well.
That's the faith I have in them.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're too good. Right. Last word.
Back in cleaner.
Just to lull you to sleep this evening, listeners.
Ryan, come